like the pine trees lining the winding road. I got a name, I got a name. Like the singing bird and the croaking toad, I got a name. I got a name.
And the name we're talking about today on the Evan Bray Show is Duck Lake. Duck Lake, Saskatchewan, of course, in the news here over the past couple of weeks, where the mayor at a council meeting decided, hey, we should try to find another way to get some much-needed funding for our community. And so the mayor, and you heard him on our radio station a couple of weeks ago, saying, we have put it out there. We are looking to sell the naming rights to Duck Lake, Saskatchewan. And he's thinking, you know, if a major corporation were to come in, say Nutrien, they would pay them a bunch of money and change the name of Duck Lake to a corporate name. Maybe Nutrien, maybe Cameco. Who knows? What about the history there? And I know there's been pushback from people in the community, and the mayor of Duck Lake, to his credit, when he was on the radio, he said, listen, we're putting this out there as an idea. We are looking for submissions. I believe they're opening it up until, I think it's next March, where they're hoping somebody, some entity would step forward and perhaps make a financial offer for them. But I recall the mayor did say at that time, listen, even if we get an offer, he said this would be put to a referendum, a vote for the people in the community of Duck Lake, because a number of them have come forward. There's a petition out there saying we don't like this. It's a bad idea. But we thought it'd be a good opportunity to delve into a little bit of the history of that part of Saskatchewan, the community of Duck Lake, just a little northeast of Saskatoon. As you're traveling north on Highway 11, of course, on your way to Prince Albert, you drive through Duck Lake. Bill Wazer, well-known Saskatchewan author, historian, and just an interesting guy, joins us to talk about the history of Duck Lake. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you today, Brent?
I'm doing well. Excited to have you on the Evan Bray Show while I get to fill in today here. So tell me, from your point of view as a historian, as an author about the past in Saskatchewan, what is it about Duck Lake that's so important historically for our province?
Duck Lake's largely known today because of its proximity to the Northwest Rebellion in 1885, but it even predates that. The community's named because of the large lake nearby that the First Nations noted was a popular migratory fowl stopping place, and so that's where the name Duck Lake comes from. There were a number of First Nation reserves in the area, Willow Cree Reserves, Beardy Okamasis, to the west and to the east, One Arrow. You've got a large Métis community moving in the area in 1860s, 1870s, and that's both French Métis and English Métis. They migrate from Manitoba after the Red River resistance there in 1869, 1870. So it's a interesting community in the sense that you've got a mix of settlers, First Nations, and Métis people in that area. As I said, there's 1885, but then it's also important as a settlement starting off point because it's on the Qu'Appelle, Long Lake, and Saskatchewan Railway in 1890. And so people coming to that area would travel north from Regina on the rail line, stop at Duck Lake, and proceed to their homestead from there. Or it served as a supply center. So it has deep Saskatchewan roots in terms of that settlement period.
And the community certainly in recent years has done a lot, really, to promote the historical significance of their part of the province as a bit of a tourist attraction.
That's right. There's the Duck Lake Regional Interpretive Center, which opened in 1992. There's an outdoor gallery of murals. If you've driven the streets of Duck Lake, you can see these murals. In terms of industry, there's a pea processing plant there. It's got a number of services. And in fact, that's the interesting part about towns these days. You know, villages were established about 8 to 10 miles apart when the railways came through, because that was the distance that settlers could travel to deliver their grain and make it economical. So you've got a number of smaller villages. Well, those are disappearing, and so places like Duck Lake, because of distance and isolation, are becoming an important regional centers too. So they play that role as well.
Have you ever, in your history of looking into the history of Saskatchewan as an author and historian, have you ever seen a community do something like this before?
No, I haven't. And, you know, these names are important. Like your family and my family are from Lyleton, right?
Southwest Manitoba, yes.
Let me get it in there. But why is it called Lyleton? Because it was the Lyles that first settled that particular part of Manitoba. And now, so you get the name Lyleton. And so it's a name that has local resonance. And it's not just Lyleton. You can look at any number of places. And in fact, place names in this province are fascinating because of what they tell you about. Often a place was named because of the local postmaster or postmistress. That's the person who originally gave his name to the town. Take Belle Jenny up near the Battlefords. The postmaster there, he had a daughter named Jean, and he wanted to use the Irish word Belle for fine or a lovely area. And when it was registered, instead of being Balgini after his daughter, it became Balgeni. But that speaks to the history of that area. Or even your listeners might be familiar with Waka, because they might holiday there or even have a cabin there.
Yep.
Waka is Cree for crooked. So if you look at the shape of that lake, it is crooked. And there you have an indigenous name there. So we could go throughout the province and look at places like that. Then there are names. I actually, to get back to your question, I think there are places that have changed, but for particular reasons. You take the Great War in Saskatchewan, and everything German during the Great War was bad. And even though we had a large number of German immigrants to Saskatchewan in the early 20th century, Germans became the enemy during the First World War. And so you had names that change. Have you ever heard of Prussia, Saskatchewan?
No, I have not.
And, well, that name changed to Leader. Saskatchewan was once named Prussia. And Prussia, Saskatchewan, once had street names Wilhelm and Kaiser in the streets of Leader. And Schultz, Saskatchewan, became Prelate. So names were changed because of the war. But generally, though, these names have meaning. The other interesting thing are the alphabet lines we have in this province.
Mm-hmm.
When the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway came through, a person at the time said that towns were like beads on a string because of the way they were laid out. And so we've got two alphabetic lines in this province. They're going across through from Atwater to Zelma. And people along that line might know that the names are alphabetical meaning.
Saskatchewan author, historian Bill Wazer joining us as we're talking about the idea of council members in Duck Lake to look for the possible renaming of their community as a corporate signage type situation. As we're saying, we've never really seen this done before. But, you know, I think in defense of what the council is trying to do, they're trying to help their community financially. And at the same time, the history doesn't go away when you change the name, does it?
No, it doesn't, but I would be resistant to change. I think the council needs to take this issue with the RM and the provincial government instead of taking the radical direction of changing the name. But then again, I don't live in Duck Lake, and so I don't know what the local issues or financial problems are there.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. As I say, the mayor has basically said we're going to keep this open till March of next year. And I know when I first interviewed him, he was talking in terms of hoping to get as much as $10 million. And I don't know if there's any way that's to be expected at all. It's a novel approach, and it's certainly given them lots of publicity.
Yeah, I think ironically, the flip side of that is that we're talking about Duck Lake and its history this morning.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for this move, we wouldn't be talking about it today. But I would recommend to your listeners that if they're interested in place names in Saskatchewan, there's a wonderful book by the late Bill Berry. His passion was Saskatchewan place names. And so he's published a very thick book called The Geographic Names of Saskatchewan. And just dipping into that book is fascinating. To give you an example, Melville, Saskatchewan, that's named after Charles Melville Hayes, who was a builder of the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway. He died in the Titanic when it sunk. And so to commemorate him, you have Melville. And in the Duck Lake area, if you go immediately west of Duck Lake, there is a small postal office called Titanic, which dates from 1912.
Yeah. It's something, isn't it? And it is interesting, too, the number of communities that don't exist anymore. You'll often hear, when you read a book such as some of your material, Bill, you'll hear community names, town names, and they just are off the map now.
That's right. Let's hope my writing doesn't disappear.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. And again, we always
my pleasure.
Love spending some time.
And I'm glad we got Lyleton in. And I sent you a picture of Duck Lake from the 1890s.
I saw that.
You got that.
I did.
But if you want to post that, it's a wonderful shot of what Duck Lake looked in the circa 1890s, including the King's Hotel.
Has it changed much? Like Duck Lake originally, you know, the original settlement as its peak, population-wise, business-wise, do you have any sense how it was at its peak then as opposed to today?
I think it's been fairly stable. I think today it's around 600 or so, but I think it's because it's a service center. And, you know, distance and isolation used to be a problem during the settlement phase in Saskatchewan, and distance and isolation has reared its head today. And people have to travel long. Well, people in Duck Lake would have to travel from Saskatoon, but they, you know, Duck Lake survives as a service center.
Yeah. Good to know. Bill, thanks so much for your time.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep, take care. Bill Wazer joining us as we were continuing the discussion about Duck Lake and the city council there, the town council, deciding they want to throw it out to the world, see if they can get a corporate renaming with a price tag attached to it as well. A lot of people in the community don't like the idea of it. But as I mentioned, when we first talked about this a couple of weeks ago with the mayor, he said, this is just an idea we have. We're floating it. We'll see what happens come next March if we get any bites. And he said no matter what they might have presented to them, they would still put it to the vote in the community of Duck Lake. Interesting, though, huh? This is the Evan Bray Show. Brent Laux filling in today. Happy to be here. Nice weather. Wow. Plus 10 Saskatoon today, 8 for Regina. Going to stay above normal all week long by the looks of things. Evan Bray Show continues on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Interesting discussion with Bill Wazer, a well-known Saskatchewan historian and author. I ran into Bill a number of years ago, and we started comparing family histories. And in our conversation, you heard him talk about us being from Lyleton. Well, technically, I had family at Lyleton, which is a very, very tiny little community in the very southwest corner of Manitoba. But Bill's family has connections down there as well. But I actually from Pearson, which is a little bit north of Lyleton. off our text line after that conversation, some interesting texts coming in. This is good. Rick, thanks for this story. Rick is in Chaplin, but he's talking about the community of Nojack, Alberta. Nojack, Alberta. Yes, it does exist. If you go on your Google Maps, you can find Nojack, Alberta. Now, I want to believe this is a true story because I love it. He says it wasn't named Nojack at the time, but he said the Nojack Hotel, the owner was also the postmaster, which I'm guessing was probably pretty common. He said there was an oil field worker who kept showing up every day looking for mail. His name was Jack. And Rick says the hotel owner started getting tired of this, and he finally just hung a sign up out on the road in front of the hotel that said, "No, Jack." After that, he said the town was known as No Jack, Alberta. Sure, why not? That makes sense. I know one story from my youth. This is a lake in Manitoba. You know, Manitoba, just like Saskatchewan, so many thousands of lakes in the north. And the story was told to me when I was a boy that after the Second World War, a lot of the returning vets for work were commissioned to fly to all these different lakes, and they would do a geological or a geographical survey. You know, they'd survey, get all the measurements of a lake, and it was often on them to come up with a name for some of these lakes that they'd be putting on the map. And the story was for Sobe Lake, that the plane apparently either crashed in the lake or they had some issues, and the pilot and the surveyor were stuck there for a number of days before they were finally rescued. And so on the map, it is Sobe Lake. Just use your imagination on that after the difficulties they had. S O AB, son of, you got it. And, you know, I want to believe it's a true story. You know, somebody tells you, and in my particular case, it was a friend of my older brother's, and I was probably about 10 years old when he told me that story. You get told something like that. Well, of course it's true. It really happened. 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Bill Wazer had mentioned Titanic, Saskatchewan. I know we've talked about that location as well. As he said, it's pretty well straight west of Duck Lake. There is no community there now. Neil points out that there is a cairn in place with some information about Titanic, Saskatchewan. 1-877-332-8255. We have a number of texts coming in on different topics here. Let me just get to them. Here we go. Les says, back in the 1930s, our little town was actually called, what is that, St. Kildare? And he said it was now changed to Corning. Unsure why it was changed. That's Les, who was in Corning. Thanks for that, Les. 1-877-332-8255. I'd have to do some research on this one. One of our listeners says, have a look at what they've done with Rocky Top, Tennessee. It was formerly called Lake City. They did exactly this to drive development. But our texter says they don't really know how it worked out. Rocky Top, Tennessee. There's a song there, eh? Rocky Top. 1-877-332-8255. I got so many texts that are coming in here. Oh, this goes back to my conversation with the operations manager for the Swift Current Airport, talking about its use in the Second War as one of the training airports. There was over 100 of these established across Canada, and there's a number of locations in Saskatchewan where you can still see runways. Some runways are still actually used. But he was talking about the number of planes. The Swift Current Airport was a decommissioning location, and our guest had told us how they literally had hundreds, if not thousands, of these planes brought there, and they were decommissioned, and buildings were taken apart, and a lot of the locals ended up using parts for different things. Glenn in Prince Albert says, as a kid growing up on a farm in central Saskatchewan, we had an old four-wheel wagon, had a grain box on it. My grandfather would haul grain from the field to the bins. Eventually, we converted it to a water tank. We used it for many years, hauling water to the sprayer. The wagon had aircraft wheels on it. I'm not sure what type of aircraft they came from, but I do recall my dad saying it was from a decommissioned World War II aircraft. That's cool, eh? And as our guest from Swift Current had said, that was Kelly Peterson, by the way, we were talking about, and he said there are numerous planes and parts of these air bases that are still out there, maybe in the back 40, or some farmers found some other use for it. A little bit of our history, though, here in Saskatchewan, something to keep in mind as we head towards Remembrance Day tomorrow. 1-877-332-8255. Another one of our listeners texted in, totally off topic on what I'm on right now, but we'll get into it between 10:30 and 11, and that is what's going on with the federal budget. They have survived two non-confidence motions already, but the main budget vote is going to be happening in just a few days, coming up on the 17th here of November. Some thoughts on what's going on in Ottawa these days as well when we return following the news. Brent Lauk's happy to be filling in today on this Monday, day before Remembrance Day. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, on the topic of heat, looking forward to chatting with my next guest here on the Evan Bray Show. Brent Lauk's filling in today. He is the Spice King of Canada. His name is Mike Jack. He's from Ontario. He joins us on the line this morning, though, from Nova Scotia. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How in the world did you come up with the title Spice King of Canada?
Well, I've broken 20 Guinness World Records, mostly for eating peppers, eating hot sauce, stuff like that, including fastest time to eat 100 Carolina Reaper peppers. And I'm also the four-time world champion of hot pepper eating.
How in the world did you find yourself becoming the Spice King of Canada? At what point in your life did you say, I'm going to see if I can set a whole bunch of records when it comes to eating hot peppers?
Well, I guess I was really into, I got really into hot sauce when I was in college. I'd, just try to, I ate a lot of hot sauce, trying to find hotter and hotter sauces. After about 15 years of, you know, being really into hot sauce, I was eating Carolina Reaper pepper hot sauce like ketchup. And one of my buddies told me there's people on YouTube eating hot peppers, and I should give it a try because I'm so good with hot sauce. So started my YouTube channel, Mike Jack Eats Heat. Made a video eating one pepper, did pretty well, and ate more and more each video. And then, yeah, it ended up, I started breaking records.
And so you make a living being the Spice King of Canada?
Yeah, I do now. Yeah, I've got a few different avenues to, make it a full-time thing. Just went full-time with it just a couple of years ago. I have my own hot sauce. I've got a good following on social media, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's going pretty awesome.
Do you make your own hot sauce?
Yeah. I make it with a buddy, with Dawson's Hot Sauce. He's been making hot sauce for a long time. But, yeah, I came up with some cool ideas, and then, yeah, he puts it together for me in his commercial kitchen.
Mike Jack is my guest. He's the Spice King of Canada. He likes hot peppers. This is National Pepper Month, I understand, the month of November. Anything you're doing to celebrate this noteworthy time of the year?
To be honest, I didn't even know it was Hot Pepper Month. I'll celebrate today with some spicy food for sure.
Do you find, as you've been doing this for many years now, and you've tried all these different hot peppers, do you develop an immunity, something that would, burn the living daylights out of my mouth? You go, meh, no big deal?
Yeah, definitely. You definitely build up a tolerance to it for sure, so... I always tell people when I first started out, I'd go to the movie theater, get the nachos with a little cup of jalapenos.
Yeah.
And I couldn't finish the whole cup of jalapenos. It would be too spicy for me. But, I've been doing this for, into spicy stuff for almost 25 years now, I guess. So over that time, yeah, I've built up quite a tolerance. I still feel, the really hot peppers and stuff like that, but just not as much as most people do.
Are they cultivating hotter and hotter peppers all the time, or is the pepper limit been reached?
No, they're still there's lots of people at it. I'm trying to make the new world's hottest pepper. So I follow it pretty closely. At one time it was like habaneros were considered the world's hottest pepper, and then ghost peppers, scorpion peppers, Carolina Reapers, and now just recently over the last couple of years there's a new one called Pepper X, which isn't available to the public yet, but once it is, I'm pretty excited to try to break some records with that.
Have you ever had anything go horribly wrong when you've been eating these hot peppers here, Mike?
I've definitely been in a lot of pain, laying on the cold bathroom floor, stuff like that, but nothing too serious, like the no long-term health issues or anything like that. Like the peppers themselves don't actually burn you or anything. It's all just a signal to your mind, just replicating that feeling of heat. So, so nothing serious. But yeah, definitely a lot of pain.
Hot going in and hot coming out too, isn't it?
that's what they say. To be honest, I've never had that issue. Maybe if I did along the line, I wouldn't have pushed myself to get this far in what I do.
In my notes here, it talks about the Scoville heat scale. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the Scoville heat scale, it's a way to measure how hot substances. I guess it started out, diluting spicy stuff in water to see when you could, not feel the spiciness anymore with the dilution. But now it's all machines that figure it out and stuff like that. So most people are familiar with jalapenos. They're about, 2,000 to 5,000 Scoville heat units. Ghost peppers are like a million Scoville heat units. Carolina Reaper peppers are about, they average 1.6, peak at about 2.2 million Scoville heat units. So, yeah, we're talking pretty crazy peppers.
It's funny. And everybody's got their own individual taste. Like for me, I'm a Frank's hot sauce guy. I put that stuff on everything, like the commercial says. And I like my jalapeno peppers that give me the burn as well. But like I say, I know everybody's different. My wife isn't so fussy on hot stuff. In your case, your wife, I understand, is your coach, is she?
Oh yeah, she's really into the hot stuff. She's more into hot sauces than I am, to be honest. Now she wants to get all the different flavors of hot sauce and try them all, sort of thing. So we have quite a big hot sauce collection. But yeah, she's my coach. She knows how to kind of push my buttons to really push me through the challenges, which is, you know, really, really great for the both of us. And then, yeah, we actually have we broke a Guinness World Record together for longest habanero kiss. So you can see the picture of that in the new 2026 Guinness World Records book that's out now. And we're actually, yeah, shown in last year's book as well, the 2025 edition.
So how in the world did you and your wife do a kiss and there was a habanero pepper involved?
Yeah, for sure. So it was a record that was originally created for the show Bachelor in Paradise. They did a little segment on that or whatever. Another couple had beat it, and then we beat it as well. Basically, we each had to eat a habanero and then put our lips together and keep them together for as long as we could or as long as we wanted. The previous record was about 3 minutes. And we chose 15 minutes to celebrate 15 years of marriage.
Oh, isn't that sweet? So this is not a Guinness World Record that you came up with. There was already that existing category.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was a couple couples had it before we had it. Yeah.
So I'm thinking here now, as you're in this role as the Spice King of Canada, are there competitions that you go to eat these different peppers?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a... competitions around the world with a League of Fire, it's called. They're like organization that they have, you know, belts for pepper eating. So I'm the four-time world champ. So I've won in I've got to go to New Zealand and the UK, Bulgaria, and Prague, Czech Republic. I've won the world title on all those places.
That's pretty incredible. So what's the plans for the future? I know I've been on your website. You sell products and that there. Any plans to further expand what you're doing as far as being the Spice King?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm at it all the time. I'm building a pretty good following on social media with everything. So, you know, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Mike Jack Eats Heat. And, trying to expand with my hot sauce. Just doing stuff like that. I'm going to be traveling around doing a bunch of stuff like I always do, a bunch of festivals, you know, breaking records, doing crazy challenges and stuff like that. So, yeah, just keeping on.
Well, good on you. It's an interesting life that you're leading, Mike. Before I let you go, for people that enjoy a hot pepper or a hot sauce, but they sometimes overdo it, what do you use? I know people will drink a glass of milk, something like that. Any recommendations on how to quell the heat?
Yeah, anything dairy will help out. Milk, yogurt, ice cream, whatever. That's kind of the only thing I think that's really scientifically proven to help. For me, I'm actually vegan, so I don't do any dairy. I just kind of wait it out. I think the key is just to keep calm, and it's more like a mind over matter sort of thing. Just knowing that, you know, you're not really like in danger of like burning or anything. Just keep it together, and you know, the burn will be gone in your mouth, like, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes anyway. So,
and don't rub your eyes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you're an interesting fella. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us today.
Oh, no problem. Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Take care. Mike Jack, out in Nova Scotia right now, Spice King of Canada. He holds 20 Guinness World Record titles as it pertains to eating hot peppers. Like, I like my heat, but not to the extent of some of these wild peppers that are out there. And as he said, more hot peppers being developed genetically all the time. You can check out his website. If you just Google Spice King of Canada, you'll find everything you want to know about Mike Jack. Good morning. Brent Laugh's filling in today. This is the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
And I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning. I go to bed.
I'm your temp. Brent Laux filling in on the Evan Bray Show today on CKOM and CJME. I'm here till 12:30. We've got our Remembrance Day programming tomorrow. Evan back in the chair here on Wednesday. Earlier we were talking about the nice display they've set up at the Swift Current Airport, an array of small white crosses, and those signify the 17 pilots and trainees that died in crashes that happened while they were training, all part of the British Air program across all of these air bases that were set up in Canada in the Second World War. And with that, we were talking about how a lot of these areas where these bases were set up, there were, when the Brits decided they wanted to do this Commonwealth training, they looked at Canada and they said there was 20 existing airports. You think about Saskatoon, Regina, Moose Jaw and Edmonton. They were existing entities already, but they then went on to build, over 80 of these different air bases, different sizes, depending on the type of plane that they were training on. Each particular base was built to deal with certain types of aircraft, some larger aircraft, some of the smaller fighter planes as well. But in our conversation, we were talking about the items from these bases that were picked up, scavenged, if you could say, I guess, by local residents, and some of them still exist today. We had one of our listeners text in about a water wagon that his grandfather made, and Brian down in Mooseman texted in, says, I've got a trailer with decommissioned airplane tires. I was told they might be from a B-52. Maybe it is, Brian. I would think those must be big tires. 1-877-332-8255. Sheldon and Esteban says a lot of the original Prince's Auto stuff was surplus war equipment. That may be. You know, I think back to, you know, surplus Army stuff. You know, as a kid, the Army and Navy stores and the Army and Navy catalog. Remember, you'd get the Army and Navy catalog and all the cool stuff that was in there. And a lot of it, I guess, was military surplus. I still remember those brown boots as a kid that you could buy. They laced up, but then they also had the two buckles, kind of your ankle cover over those boots. Man, I thought I was Johnny Soldier when I put those on from the Army and Navy Department store. 1-877-332-8255. On a totally different topic, one of our listeners had texted in saying, why are the Liberals going across the country talking about what's in the federal budget, promoting it when it hasn't even been passed yet? Well, that's coming November 17th. There's been two non-confidence votes already that the Liberal government has survived, but the big vote on the budget will happen coming up on the 17th here. But what in the world is going on in Ottawa, you know, with this situation with the Conservatives last week, where you had one defection, and then you had another Conservative member who had been voted in up in Edmonton, and he says, no, I don't want to do this. So he's quitting, but he's not leaving, I think, until March. So it's getting real tight as far as the number of seats that the Liberals have as opposed to the number of seats totaled up for the opposition. So who knows how this is all going to play out, but we'll see with the vote coming up on the 17th here. So much behind us here already on the Evan Bray Show on this Monday. Lots more to come. Brent Laux filling in today. Coming up here after 11 o'clock, Saskatoon Chief of Police Cam McBride, as we, over the course of the month on the Evan Bray Show, get the chiefs of police in from various departments here in Saskatchewan, talking about crime statistics in their community and what some of the major issues are, and also some good advice for citizens. And I know for Saskatoon's Chief of Police, Cam McBride, when he's here after 11, I want to be talking to him about their attrition, the number of police that may be retiring or leaving the force, and how easy it is for them to replace those numbers. And we'll also get a look on from the police chief in Saskatoon, just his thoughts for people in the community. There's lots of vandalism that goes on, cars being broken into, and I think a lot of people just feel they're helpless. There's not much they can do. So we'll get some advice from the police chief as to what you need to know if you're a citizen in Saskatoon and you're a victim of vandalism or crime. Also on the way in our program this half hour, I should say this morning, we've got a researcher and scientist joining us after 11:30 from the Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto, and they've done some fascinating research making use of the technology at the synchrotron here in Saskatoon. And what they've done is done some research involving fish, because they're so similar in their body makeup to that of a young person. And what they're doing is research on treatments for scoliosis, which is the curvature of the spine. I remember as a kid, I knew a youngster, a buddy of mine who had scoliosis, and he had to wear this rather strange brace. But we'll get some insight on this new research on scoliosis coming up after 11:30 this morning. Reed Hill will be here just before noon talking about the Royal Canadian Legion in Regina and the Remembrance Day services they've got planned there tomorrow. And we'll wrap up the Evan Bray Show afternoon with an update on Saskatchewan's air ambulance system. Happy to be with you here today. Brent Lugs filling in on the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.